أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، إنه خير ناصر ومعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity to be here with you on this night. Alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure to come here and to be with you and to see the faces that I recognize and also the new faces as well too. I don't feel at all like I'm a stranger here. And I hope, inshallah, that just like in the past we've had good memories of the month of Ramadan here, that inshallah this year can be even better. We are in the month of Ramadan, and more than half of this month has gone past. But there's still time left. There's still a chance. This is the month where our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that وَهُوَ شَهْرٌ دُعِيتُمْ فِيهِ إِلَىٰ ضِيَافَةِ اللَّهِ, that in this month you are invited to be a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you know, there's some people when they see a glass of water and the glass is half full of water, then they'll say that it's half empty. And we say that no, that's a negative way of thinking. You shouldn't do that. Somebody who's a Muslim, somebody who's a believer, they should be looking at things positively. They should say that no, this is half full of water. Now there's some people who, when they see the moon being full, you know how it's a full moon right now? They say that only half left. Only half of the month's left. You know, we've gotten through half, only half of it left. Meaning they're just waiting for the days to pass, so then no more fasting. But I think a better way of looking at it is to say that we still have time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still given us this opportunity. It's not random chance that we are here and that we are getting the opportunity to enjoy the blessings of this month. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you an invitation to come and participate in this month, to worship Him, to fast, to be in these centers and be with your fellow believers and remember the Ahlul Bayt, remember the Qur'an, then we shouldn't think that, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like somebody who is sort of like has misintentions or like has, you know, would invite us and then in the back of his mind he's actually has some other thing in mind. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all of mercy. He's all of beauty. He's all of justice. There's no way he could invite us and then actually have something else in mind. His invitation is sincere, and your being here, brothers and sisters, it means that you have been personally invited to participate in the divine banquet that is taking place this month. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be happy about this blessing. And we should be excited about it because there's only a few nights left, but we have the opportunity, inshallah, to participate in the Laylatul Qadr as well too. So for all those who are excited that we still have some time left in this month of Ramadan, please recite a loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The topic that I've chosen to address throughout the nights that I'll be with you, inshallah, is the topic of gaining a deeper understanding of Allah and our faith. So becoming more aware and having deeper insight and understanding into the religion of Islam and God. And I want to explain tonight what is the motivation, why did I choose that topic? Because I think if you understand why I chose it, first of all, you might be inclined to actually attend the lectures where we'll actually dive into the religion and Allah and see what we can understand about it. But also I think that if I can share with you the motivation that gets me excited talking about this topic, then I hope that inshallah you can be motivated as well too. Because these lectures are not just about coming, listening, and then going home and going to sleep. They're meant to, we're just to benefit from it. Just like the month of Ramadan, it's not just about fasting and then that's it. We have to change, we have to become different people. We have to take what we get and then work on it, apply it, think about it. I'd like to see brothers and sisters asking questions. I'd like to see them coming up and saying that, you know, we were talking at home over the sahi table and we were discussing what we talked about in the lecture and we came up with these points. Is that right or is that not right? I'd like to see people transforming and becoming different people because of this holy month, inshallah. Now, what is the reason why I chose this topic of gaining a deeper understanding, deeper understanding of Islam and our faith? Let me begin with a story from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that will illustrate the importance of why we have to have a deeper understanding of our religion. This story is reported in many books of hadith, and it's a very interesting story. So those of you who want to hear the story, please recite aloud salawat. It's okay, it's a Saturday night, right? Saturday today, right? Saturday night, you know, no school tomorrow, no work tomorrow, so relax, okay? Inshallah, I'm not going to take too much of your time. So the story goes like this. Okay, one time, there was a man who comes to our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi afdhal salatu wassalam. And he mentions the name of somebody, and he starts talking about this guy, and he says that this guy is such a religious person. He's such a religious person. He prays all the time. He's such an excellent person. He fasts. He's just always like, he's with the religion. So Imam Sadiq is listening to him. Okay, and he's like, Okay, and I'm making up some of this stuff. I mean, I'm making up the gestures, but the wording is the same, okay? So he's just listening to him talk. He's like, he's praising him. He's talking about this guy. And then Imam Sadiq asks him a question. He says that this man that you're praising, كَيْفَ أَقْلُهُ, how is his aql? How is his understanding of the religion? Is he one of those people who just practices and just does things, or does he understand why he's doing what he's doing? So this man, this companion, he tells him that, لَا أَدْرِي, I don't know. I don't know how. All I know is when we look at him, he's always busy praying and fasting and all these things. So then Imam Sadiq tells him something. He says that, you know what? إِنَّ الثَّوَابَ عَلَى قَدْرِ الْأَقْلِ, the reward that you get is not according to how much you do, but it's according to the quality of what you do, how much of an understanding that you have. And then he tells a story to illustrate his point. He said that there was a man during the time of Bani Israel. This was back in the time of the prophets of like Musa and those prophets. Okay, there was a man who was renowned for his worship. I mean, he was famous for being this guy who was just, you know, Mr. Worship. Okay, praying all the time, you know, beard, you know, mark on the head, just worshiping. One time there was an angel that passes by and he sees this man worshiping. And he's so impressed by his worship that he asks Allah, he says, "Oh Allah, show me the reward that's reserved for this man who's worshiping." So Allah shows him the reward. And the angel says, "That's not that much. You know, that's it. You know, he's here praying and doing all this stuff and that's all you're going to give him, God? That's it?" So God says, "Okay, wait, I know better," but he wants the angel to figure out himself. So he says, "I give you permission, you go on the earth, assume the guise of a human being, and go and talk to this worshipper and see what he's like." Are you with me in the story? Are the sisters, I feel there's chaos coming from this side of the room here. Are sisters with me? Inshallah? Okay, good. So we're talking about the story of this man, right, the worshipper, and the angel has now, okay, so the angel says, fine, he's going to assume the guise of a human being, and he goes to that worshipper. He says, "Assalamu alaikum. Alaykum salam. I've heard that you are a worshipper. I want to worship with you." "It's fine, no problem. Be my guest." So he joins him. And they pray together. Okay, he spends the night at his house. They wake up in the morning. And then they go out into the fields. The worshipper is a farmer. And he has this vast, luscious, green field. So he goes out. And then he makes a comment to the angel. He doesn't know he's an angel, right? But he makes a comment. He says that, "If only my Lord had a donkey that we could take care of, and that donkey could be here and it could eat all this grass, because this grass that's growing, it's a shame that it's not being eaten by any animal." So the angel stops and he says, "Wait a minute. Are you saying that, wa ma li rabbika himar? Are you saying that your Lord doesn't have a donkey?" See, the angel knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything in this world, right? When Allah creates something, He owns it. So to say that God doesn't have a donkey means what? Means that this guy doesn't understand. So he wanted to make sure. He said, wait. Are you saying your God, your Lord doesn't have a donkey? So the worshipper repeats himself. He says that, yeah, I'm saying that he doesn't have a donkey. Because if he had one, obviously the donkey would be here and be eating the grass and all this luscious green grass wouldn't go to waste. So the angel says, I understand now. And God reveals to the angel, he says that, إِنَّمَا أُثِيبُهُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أَقْلِهِ I have rewarded him. His reward is according to his understanding. He has such a low understanding of me that I can't give him more than what I showed you. You see, because if he was truly worshipping God, he would understand some basic principles that number one, God is just. If God doesn't want to put a donkey here, then God's not going to put a donkey here. There's a reason for it. And number two, is that to say that God doesn't have a donkey, all donkeys belong to God. And number three, to question God like that. To just say that, oh, if only God were to do this, or if God were to do this. It's as if he's taking God to court. Well, that's not right. Somebody who worships with a proper understanding should be submissive. Should understand that God operates on the principle of wisdom and perfect wisdom and perfect justice. Peace be upon Allah. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad.
Now, let's fast forward to current times. Okay, that was the story of the worshipper of the Bani Israel. I don't know if you guys saw this in the news. Less than two years ago, there was a state senator in Nebraska who filed a lawsuit. So when I saw this article, first of all, I was surprised because I didn't know that Nebraska even, you know, was big enough to have a state senate. You know, so I was, you know, I was like, okay, fine. So this guy, he's making headlines for Nebraska. Okay, good job, go, right? So he files a lawsuit. Now, why did he make headlines? It's because, and people file lawsuits all the time, right? But his lawsuit, he files this lawsuit against God. All right, he filed a lawsuit against God. And so people were like shocked. They're like, you know, he's filing a lawsuit against God. And this is what he says. He says that I'm filing a lawsuit against God because God has spread fear across the globe. Na'udhu billah. He is causing widespread death, destruction, and terrorization of millions upon millions of the earth's inhabitants. He's causing fearsome floods, horrendous hurricanes, earthquakes, plagues, famine, genocidal wars, birth defects, terrifying tornadoes, and the like. And he wants the courts to order God to cease harmful activities and the making of terroristic threats. He's making God seem like Al-Qaeda. Okay? So he files this lawsuit and he makes headlines. You can look him up on the internet as well too. So when I saw this, you know, it's interesting because here's somebody, now I don't know if he's a believer or not, okay? But it's somebody who, you know, it seems that at least he acknowledges that there's a God, because if he didn't acknowledge that there was a God, he wouldn't file a lawsuit. But his understanding of God is so little, it's so little that he stoops to this level that he's going to file a lawsuit. Because after all, we know that this type of claims, I mean, this is not, you know, this is silly. Okay, this is silly. We, as believers, especially people who adopt and accept the school of the Shia Ithna Ashri, where, you know, our principles are based on defendable logic, right? We can sit down with such a person and say that, you know, you have a wrong perception of the thing. Okay, this seems a little bit, you know, kind of out there, right? But you might have friends or acquaintances at work or school, and they're making the same type of things. They tell you that, wait a minute, okay, I have no problem with what you're saying about God and everything. But if there is a God, then why is there sadness? Why is there sickness? Why is there unhappiness? These type of things, right? So we should know the answer to this. Okay, we should be able to sit down with such a person and say that, look it, I know where you're coming from, but let's talk about it. Okay, I believe in the same God, and I believe that there's injustice on the earth as well too. And the reason for that injustice is because of the system that God created of free will. Okay, God didn't make us angels. We're different than angels. We have the ability to make choices. And we have the ability to make choices that will cause destruction. That's the way the world works. And so when you're saying that God is causing, you know, genocidal wars, no, it's not God who's doing that. It's the dictators. People who aren't satisfied with, you know, the people who have intoxicated themselves with worldly pursuits. And things like floods and hurricanes, well, from your perspective, your narrow perspective, you're looking at this particular house that was destroyed in the hurricane. But you're ignoring the larger picture of like, what are the benefits of the hurricane? Why is it that in this system of a weather system that we have, that we need to have hurricanes, we need to have earthquakes? What if we didn't have an earthquake? How much pressure would build up underneath the Earth's surface? And what would happen if it were to just explode at one go? If you see things from a larger picture, you see that this world is actually built on a lot of wisdom, and there's a harmonious system at place that's governing the different sort of natural events that take place. So these types of discussions we can have with somebody, and we can convince them. We can raise the level of their intellect. We can raise the level of their understanding. Now, brothers and sisters, this was a state centered in Nebraska. But the sad thing is that we, unfortunately, are witnessing cases where even among our own, people are taking God to court. Okay, people are taking God to court. When's the last time you've heard, inshallah you haven't, but I know I have, I've heard among our own, meaning among the Shia community, people say things like, you know, I think that it should be this way. I think that God wouldn't have wanted this thing. Okay, without, you know, these people here who have been spent their whole lives, you know, centuries of tradition and scholarship going into finding out what did God say on issue. And this person comes with no education, or maybe just a little bit of education, and then they say that, no, I think that God must have meant this thing right here. Okay? You know, we see that from our own. Okay? We're seeing people who, you know, they go through the motions, but the smallest thing happens, the smallest test comes up in life. You know, a romantic pursuit. Some opportunity comes up, and then, bang. You know, it's like, everything goes. The faith is gone. I'm seeing that with my own eyes. And it's very saddening. Because the way that the Ahlul Bayt have encouraged us to accept and understand the religion is to come at it with a deep understanding. To understand the why of what we do. And to be convinced. If we're not convinced, then of course, you know, if Shaitan comes and he goes boo, then we'll get scared. Okay? But if we are convinced, we understand things at a deeper level, then, okay, if you want to, you can bring any doubt, anything that you have in mind. But my faith is so strong that even if the whole world were to stand against me and tell me that what I'm saying is not true, I won't budge. Because I know that what I'm saying is the truth. I'm convinced, and I understand why I do what I do and why I believe what I believe. Peace be upon you. Allahumma Brothers and sisters, having a deeper understanding of our religion is very important. Okay, it's extremely important. And like, let me just give you a couple of scenarios that I feel that if we don't do this, then we're really risking our futures. One of the examples that comes to the forefront is that of marriage. Okay, inshallah, everyone here, you know, is either married or they have an intention of getting married, or you know, they're in the process of getting married, inshallah, because it's a very highly recommended thing in Islam. Now, marriage is something that everyone wants to do, but we're seeing that the percentage of failures in marriage right now is extremely high. The community leaders across America, Canada, other places are reporting percentages which are just unbelievably high. They're so high. I can't even say them because it's too unbelievable. You know how many people, how within the first, if they for example they meet and then they agree to get married, they get engaged Islamically. How many of those break? You know, let's just say more than half. And then even people who get married, how many of them within the first year they get divorced? And I'm sure even brothers and sisters know of in the families that they're aware of, and they know that, you know, they know of cases where people are either undergoing difficulties or it's happened. They've actually divorced. So if I'm a young person and I'm saying that, okay, I want to get married because, you know, it's something that it's desirable. It's something that everyone does eventually, inshallah. It's something that's recommended in Islam. If I do not have a deep understanding of what a married couple is supposed to be like, how, according to Islam, they're supposed to maintain and further that love, then what am I going to do? What am I going to do to make sure that my marriage is successful? Am I going to listen to Oprah Winfrey? Okay? Like, what is she going to tell me what to do? Right? Am I going to look at what, you know, people around me are doing? Are they good examples for me? Or do they have their own problems? Am I going to do what my mother and father did? Well, my mother and father, they didn't grow up in the same town as me. Right? They grew up in a different era. And they have a different way of dealing with things. So what am I going to do? If I just go by random chance, the odds of my failing are very high. And so that's why I think that it's almost like wajib, or it's silly for somebody to say that, okay, if somebody is really keen on getting married, or they have a marriage that they want to preserve and they want it to flourish, I think that it's incumbent upon them to find out what are the Islamic teachings, what did the Ahlul Bayt do about this? Because when I look at them and I look at their family relationships, you know, Bibi Fatima and Hazrat Ali alayhi salam, that's what I see as example, not Oprah Winfrey, right? That's the example that I want. Okay? That's what inspires me. So it's a matter of survival. If I don't have a deeper understanding of my faith, then I'm not going to be able to survive. Okay, if I don't have a deeper understanding, that's one example. Let me give you another example. If I don't have a deeper understanding of my faith, then what's going to happen is that, as you might have seen, I'm going to feel less and less inclined to come to this center. Because, why do I come after all? You know, it's, you know, a lot of people, it's not about the speech, right? It's about my friends. Okay, it's about the friends and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's good. It's a healthy thing that we have when we come and we meet our fellow brothers and sisters. But is it easier for me to drive all the way to the center at nighttime and you know, find friends here? Or is it easy for me to just do it back in my work and school? Obviously, easier to do it at school and work, right? So if I look at it from a cost trade-off, you know, we're taught to like look at things in an economic sense, right? From a cost trade-off, what's more difficult for me? To come to the center, you know, and late at night, after a long day, you know, and deal with like waiting in line for food? Or should I just like, you know, call my friends, you know, just my coworkers and just go out to, I don't know, you know, like, what is it called, Jack in the Box with them or something? You know, that's easier, right? You see, brothers and sisters, it's no longer the case that we can rely on culture to tell us what to do and what not to do. For some of us here, like our parents, it was a natural thing for them to go to the center. You know, any occasion, any wiladat, any shahadat, you know, month of Ramadan, month of Muharram, they're there because that's part of their culture. But as we get further and further from that immigration time, you know, now we're people who have been born here, raised here, etc., then we need another reason. We need a stronger reason that's going to keep us here. We need to understand very clearly what is the effect. If I have a Muslim friend versus a non-Muslim friend, what is the effect going to be on my soul? I need to understand at a deep level. And if I'm not convinced of that, it's not going to happen. All right, well, it just feel like, you know, it's too much effort. It's easier for me to do the other thing. So you see, brothers and sisters, there's so many cases where if I want to survive, being in this non-Muslim society especially, I don't have my cultural background to fall upon. If I want to keep my identity, if I want to have success in my life, I need to have a deeper understanding of my faith. I can't just go through the motions. I can't just do things just because my parents did it. Let me share with you a very interesting, powerful tradition that we have from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, who says that whoever enters this religion because of people, okay, this is very important, brothers and sisters. Whoever enters this religion because of people, meaning, for example, I become a Muslim, I'm a Muslim because of my parents, or I'm Muslim just because of my culture or whatever, people will take him out of the religion. The same way that they enter because of people will take them out. Something will happen and that's it. Okay, their being Muslim gets, you know, it's just not in the picture anymore. But whoever enters it through the Qur'an and the Sunnah, the mountains will move before he moves. The mountains will move before he moves. There's a challenge there, brothers and sisters. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is telling us that when it comes to your understanding of the faith, don't just do it because of, don't do taqleed of your parents. Just because they did it. No, have a deep understanding. I was very impressed. I met this young brother recently, just a couple of weeks back. And after some time, he told me that, you know, brother Salim, he said that I have recently made a decision to go back and understand again why I am a Muslim. And he didn't just say the question just to like pose it out there and just to like as an excuse. No, He was very serious. And so from the beginning, he was going and understanding, okay, first of all, why is there a God? Okay. Okay, that's why. I got that. Okay, now, why does the God have to send messengers? You know? Okay, that's why. Okay, now, which messenger came? Etc. And the imams, you know, the Day of Judgment, etc. You know? And I could tell that this was somebody who was really serious about it. He was pursuing this quest that he had. And he had already made some progress. He was reading books, he was asking questions, and he was making progress in this. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. Okay, if anybody ever tells you that, you know, if you ask any more questions, then, you know, you better shut up, otherwise I'm going to hit you or something like that, right? That's not Islam. Okay, Islam is about asking questions, understanding why. Imam Ali was asked, is it okay for somebody to leave beside, like, not ask a question when he has a question that he needs to know the answer to? Imam Ali says no. If you have a question that you need the answer to, meaning that it's something to do with your faith, you have to ask the question. But the questions that we come up with shouldn't be the type of questions where, okay, we ask the question, and then if we don't get an answer, we use it as an excuse not to practice. Okay, we're just asking the question, and the reason for it actually goes back to our nafs. Our nafs is saying that, you know what, I don't want to practice, I don't want to fast, I don't want to pray, whatever it is, I don't want to observe the hijab. And that's why I'm asking this question. And then I'm going to be in the state of doubt. And even when the truth is presented to me, I'm not willing to listen to it. Even when I have the opportunity to ask questions, I don't go and ask the questions. That's the type of questioning that's not encouraged. But the other type of questioning is what we have to do. And the last point I want to make, brothers and sisters, is that if we don't ask questions, we should understand that this great, amazing ni'mah, the blessing that we have of Islam, the pure Islam, there's no guarantee that it's going to stay with us. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need me or you for His faith. There's other people there who are willing and ready to take it. We live in a world right now where people are dying for spirituality. They've tried other things. They've realized that the, you know, stock market isn't going to take them where they want to get to. They're looking for spirituality. They're looking for love. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for peace. And if they only were to find out about what we have to offer them, especially Shiism, this logical approach to, you know, understanding things and the depth that we have, okay, it's not about big beers and miswaks, okay, it's about, you know, being a good person and practicing and your faith and inshallah we're talking about what is our faith about. If they had that, they would go for it like, you know, they would just be jumping at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. He says that be aware that there's one way that you can get that tranquility, that peace, that happiness, that bliss that you're looking for. And that is the path of Allah. The path of dhikr of Allah. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is exactly the same as the sharia of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran many times that if you do not do it, okay, if you turn away from it, سَوْفَ يَأَتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring other people and they'll take it. Okay, so it's our challenge, brothers and sisters. And I want to pose this challenge, inshallah, as a challenge for all of us in the remaining nights of the month of Ramadan. Let's try to come up with a deeper understanding of our faith, why we do what we do, ask the questions, challenge ourselves, and be strong. So strong that, as Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, that زَالَتِ الْجِبَالُ قَبْلَ أَن يَزُودُ, that the mountains will move before he moves. Please recite salawat ala Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to make the most out of the remaining nights of the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our families and the scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone in this room and all the mu'mineen their hajat, their needs in this holy month.